بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The road to Allah Ta'ala is clear, and the explanation of the road to Allah Ta'ala is one step on your nafs and the second step you in Jannah. So just one step on the nafs. That means the main thing that you have to cover in this journey is the nafs. Once you step on the nafs, then you're on. If it were not for the nafs, not for this hurdle and this obstruction, then apparently there was no way for you to get into Jannah. So you cannot ask why was the nafs created. If there wasn't a thing like nafs, then there was no trial, no examination, no test. So if there isn't a test, then how do you qualify? You qualify for a reward if there is a trial. If there's a small test, there's a trial, then you qualify for a reward. This entire system, this universe, has been created in the same manner. Some trial and some test coming on your way. What money? Then some test. For a professional person, educate yourself, then practice, then you get something. So for him also, it's not just, you don't just get it. So you learn and then you practice. Right? For a businessman, the start of a business and then be committed to that business, Allah gives it to him. So there's a test. So the nature of this world requires some test. And perhaps it is a blessing that there is this test around. If there was no test, completely no test, there was no meaning in this life. You, one person, Ashraf Mawlana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, on the day of Qiyamat, when the Jannatis are put into Jannat, Jahannam is sent to Jahannam, then Jahannam will complain that I still have some space. So Allah Ta'ala will place his foot. What that means, Allah knows best. Until Jahannam will cry out, no, I am full up. And Jannat also will say that I have some space in me. Then Allah Ta'ala will create a creation and fill Jannat. Jannat has got some unique qualities. لا يمسهم فيها نصب وما هم منها بمخرجين. One is, you don't go through any type of fatigue and tiredness. Here you get tired, exhausted, fatigued, right? Jannat is no fatigue, no tiredness. The second thing that happens in Jannat that's exclusive to Jannat, وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ, that you aren't removed, you aren't expelled from Jannat. Once you're in forever, then you're not expelled. Jannat is not taken away, cut away from you. Compare that against this life, then you've got no guarantee that whatever you've got will be with you. Right? You become the prime minister of a state, then too your term will end. Today you are there, tomorrow what's going to be your fate, only Allah knows. You've got the wealth, then the wealth perishes, goes away from you. Right? You've got the health, can't say that that health would remain. So whatever you have got here will come to an end. Whatever small good pleasure, comfort, luxury, whatever you've got, but it must come to an end. There is no such a thing like the pleasures will never terminate. They must terminate at some point. No matter how much you like it, how dear it is, how much you worked for it, whatever you've done, for whichever type of pleasure and luxury, but it must come to a terminating point. Right? So this is the nature of this world. Right? And that the tafsir they speak about, that Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he's traveling with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they take refuge in the Ghar al-Thawr, right, for 3 days. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanautwi Rahmatullahi, he was being hunted down by the English. Right? And they warred against the English, and the English was pursuing him. So he was in hiding for approximately 3 days. But now look at the level of commitment to the Sunnah. In the third day, he said, no, I'm going out. Woman crying, how can you leave us, and what will happen, what will be the consequence? And the Nabi took in hiding for just 3 days, not for more than 3 days. Now 3 days up, I'm going. Whatever happens, happens, but I can't go against this Sunnah as well. See, this is now the person that you can say is the revivalist of Sunnah. Just for the sake of the Nabi starting of doing it in a certain way, I'll just do it in that way. And then speaking the truth in the same war that took place, they call it the Mutiny, 1857. And one is fighting and he is exhausted now. He's exhausted, so he sat down. Just then one English came, big size, triple size, came. He said, yeah, you that person, huh? So Mawlana had just a sword in his hand. This person is well equipped. So Mawlana said, you're charging me. You don't see what's behind you. How foolish can you be? He turned around. And whatever strength Mawlana had, he pulled out his sword. And they say he cut him like in a triangle. You know, one stroke and the whole body just cut. So he didn't even speak a lie at that time. He said, you're coming for me. I'm not seeing what's behind you. At that time also, never speak a lie. When he left the home, and then he was in the masjid somewhere, perhaps in Chatta or whatever he was. So the English came searching for him. As they came searching for him, he went informers everywhere. Jasus, Mukhbiri, intelligence. Right. What a word to give to a spy, intelligence. Eh? What an unintelligent thing to do, but that person is called intelligence. So the intelligence, they inform the English officer that Mawlana is here. So as he walked into the masjid, so he asked, where's Mawlana Qasim Sahib? So Mawlana took one step, just one step in front. He said, just a second ago he was here. See now, these are the people that you can call revivalist. And you find so much of good flourishing at their hands. Because at no time will you find them breaking the Sunnah. They live for the Sunnah. They die for the Sunnah. They live the Sunnah. They love the Sunnah. They die the Sunnah. So Abu Bakr is with Nabi Sussan in the cave, right? And as he's in the cave, he's grieving, and he expresses his concern for the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If these people have just looked down, they will see you straight. And if I were destroyed, then it's not a problem. But if you go, then what's going to happen to the rest of Islam? What's going to happen to people, to Islam, to the Muslim? What's going to be the future? So Abu Bakr radiallahu's concern was not his dear self. See, where the Shia say that these people, Abu Bakr radiallahu, Uzbillah, etc., Khulafa'i Rashidin, they were against Nabi Sallam, they didn't like him, they hated him, right? That's what they say, right? Now, had it been true that they didn't like Nabi Sallam and they were after him, after his blood, then was there a need for him to grieve like this? See, was there a need for him to grieve? It was a time to rejoice, actually. Yeah, we got you now. We didn't have to have a lengthy search warrant for you. We got you already. You could have just called those people. Come, guys, we've got him here. Because that's straight. The Quran Sharif himself, Quran Sharif itself is saying, La tahzan. La tahzan. So, one is to say, La tahzan, and one is to say, La tahaf. So, both have got different meanings. Khawf is different, and huzn is different. Khawf is to fear, and huzn is to grieve. The Quran Sharif didn't even say, La takhaf, don't be afraid. Because Abu Bakr, it would seem, is not afraid of his life. Had he been afraid of his life, then the Quran Sharif would have comforted him saying, La takhaf. Nothing to fear, right? Had he been afraid about his life, then that's what the Quran Sharif would have said. Like when Musa al-Islam, threw his rod and it turned into a serpent, right? So he was afraid for that moment and Allah comforted him, Inni la yakhafu ladayya al-mursalun. In my presence, the Rasuls are not afraid for my work, for my presence, they're not afraid. Aqbil wa la takhaf. Come, don't be afraid. So that is when a person is afraid of his life, concerned about his life. So you say, La takhaf. But the word huzn is totally different. Huzn is when you're aspiring for something and it didn't happen. Something that you would desire, would aspire, would dream for, and you have to separate, you have to move away from it. What happens? It's a grief, isn't it? You were despised for that wealth. Yeah. The Sheikh has got a story about a jeweler, right? Next to the jeweler was a Muslim, and the Muslim had to sell up and move. There was problems, and he had to sell up and move. So the Muslim had, they call it a haun dasta. Haun dasta is just used, maybe in some of the homes you still see it. They have a pot and they have a hammer. So you want to grind chutney or something, they use that. In Gujarati, wrongly they say, imam dasto. It's not imam dasto, haun dasta. Right? I don't know, someone must have seen that thing. Right? So that thing is, the pot also, it's quite heavy. It's made of steel, very heavy. I think the pot itself may be about 8-9 kilos, and the hammer may be about 5 kilos. Because you're hammering the thing, if it's an ordinary pot, the thing will finish. So that thing has to be very strong, very thick. And the hammer also has to be, because the hammer has to hammer. So that's about 5-6 kilos, that's about 8-9 kilos. So this Muslim is selling up, and moving. And this Hindu knows that this person is desperate, so he will sell it next for nothing. So he's negotiating. Muslim is saying 100,000, or no, let's think, not even 5,000. Unfortunately, when the person is in constraints, then we squeeze the person. There's not an Islamic way. We'll squeeze the person and then we'll go and brag about it, boast about it. See, this I picked up for extra nothing. Now, this is not the way of Islam. You give the person his fair price. Al-deenu al-nasiha. What is deen? Deen to khair khayi kanam. Deen is to wish well. For everybody. A'immatil muslimin wa ammatim. For the rank and the file and for the leadership. You wish well for everybody. When you wish well for everybody, then this is called Islam. Now, you know that this thing is worth, say, 100,000, and he's offering it to you for 5,000, for example. I ask you, is that wishing well? Now, he's in constraints because of the constraints that he is in. So he's brought the price right down. And then you squeeze him further. I say, is it right? So when it's not an appropriate thing, then there will be the only barakat in what you have got. What you have bought, there's no barakat. Maybe the deal is permissible. It's a valid sale because you didn't force him. Right? You didn't force him. He offered that much and you paid that much and the deal is done, closed. So you may say that the sale is valid, but you lose out on the barakat completely, entirely. There's no barakat in that sale. And what really counts in life is the barakat. Once that sale has got the barakat of Allah Ta'ala, then the thing flourishes. One thing, and it lasts for you, it lasts you. The good that comes out, you know, it's enormous. So much of good comes out in that one little thing that you have purchased. Why? It is supported with barakat. And when it's not supported with barakat, then what's the good? Your life has got good, has got barakat, your time has got barakat, the wealth has got barakat. So you may have little, but you have got barakat in that. So in that little, you earn a lot, right? That is when it's barakat. Little, but Allah Pak has filled barakat into it. So that turns out to be a lot. It's true, like for example, two people are going for Umrah, right? So the one person has got barakat. When he's got barakat, then his time is correctly used. Right? The Haram Sharif, Tawaf, Namaz, Zikr, Tilawat. Right? In that one journey, but as though he did what the next person would have done in about 20 Umrahs in one journey. The amount that he covered in that one journey, that other person won't do in 20. Submission, humility, respect, everything he's got. This person here in 20, 30 umrahs also, he doesn't do the same. So what's the difference? This person went and he had barakat in it. And this person was void of barakat, so he went, but he's not even 100th of what that person did. So what we need in our lives is the support of Allah Ta'ala, the barakat of Allah Ta'ala. And the barakat of Allah Ta'ala comes, there are certain procedures. With that procedure, you get barakat. And with that barakat, you get several things. One is, sometimes, whatever you've got is sufficient for you. Whatever you've got, the little you've got, but it suffices. Number two, the second thing that you get with barakat, is you get the inner satisfaction and fulfillment. It's barakat. So you are very satisfied, and you feel the feeling of fulfillment. Right. And minus barakat, then you don't find the feeling of fulfillment. And you got married to a girl, so you still don't find the fulfillment. Hey, you know, this one here I got landed up. What must I do? I just have to stick around now until death eventually overtakes us. So you are burning within, I would have caught that girl, this girl here, what about that one, what about this one? I don't find the satisfaction. I don't find the fulfillment. So he doesn't find the fulfillment in what he's got. If it is any other comfort and pleasure, he doesn't find the fulfillment. They just prepare this thing here, kacharao, whatever food they're preparing. So he doesn't find the inner fulfillment. And when Allah Pak has blessed someone with barakat, then it's ordinary simple food that he's eating. Mug and rice or mug and bread he's eating. But he's finding so much of satisfaction, fulfillment, comfort. He feels extremely happy. See, the barakat, what he does. So there is a procedure to earn this barakat. And there's a way to strip yourself of barakat. And the barakat has an effect, see. The wealth came to you, you're happy for it. It went to your brother, you're happy. That's barakat. And you stripped of that barakat, it didn't come to you, you're crying. You are mourning, you are crying, you're groaning, right? Why? Because you've been stripped of that barakat. So the barakat goes away from you, and you're groaning, you're crying, you're mourning. And when you've got barakat, then a little wealth, but what satisfaction. So this is where people make a mistake. They feel that, you know, you must have a lot to qualify for barakat. We got plentiful, then we've got barakat. And we don't have that figure, we don't have that amount, and there's no barakat. No barakat in the business, no barakat in what we are doing, no barakat in our home, we don't have it. Why? Because we don't have that number. So he's always complaining. So his mind is not at ease. He doesn't have the barakat in his life. That's why you'll find, in the past, people's wealth was more halal, right? There was no financing, right? There was no banking, right? There was no fraudulent business, right? So it was very clear, straightforward. Very clear and straightforward. So it was very clear and straightforward. Then, in your small little hut, you could invite guest upon guest. One guest, 10 guests, come today they're coming, tomorrow they're coming. And they're coming, they're flowing, and just flowing, flowing, you know, like a flowing river. Just moving, one coming and the second coming afterwards. One going and the other one is coming. One going and the other one is just coming. And it's a pleasure, they're coming, they're staying, they're eating and moving. Now, that's barakat. Now, look at it, how it changed. Now you've got a palatial home, all the finishes and whatever you've got. But you can't manage one guest. You can't manage a guest. Finding it too difficult, let alone him eating, even him staying over. You can't imagine, he's blocking our space. Squeezing our space, we can't take him. So that's an indication that the barakat has left your home. So when the barakat has left your home, so you've got so much of space, but you still feel, I'm choked, I can't keep one person. One person you can't keep, you feel choked. You feel so stuffed. See, it's an indication. Now, see, the people in the past, little, but so many they could turn. One going, one coming in. One going, one coming in. Just moving on. So these are all indications of barakat. And the barakat generally comes, one is when it's halal. Number two, when you are trusting Allah Ta'ala. Pure halal, you trust Allah Ta'ala. And number three is you're wishing well for everybody. Number four is you're happy with your lot. What Allah Pak has given, you're happy with that. You're not complaining. So when you've got these three, four ingredients, then you'll find that barakat coming to your house. Whether you got a lot or a little, you'll find barakat, you'll find happiness, you'll find pleasure, you'll find that little, but so much is happening out of that little. See, a small house, but so much is turning out. And that big house, you see everywhere, big, big homes there. And how many people living? Three, four people living. But they still find it too small, too cramped up, spaces, stuffed up, choked up, can't manage anything here. So all indication that the barakat of the house has left. In one Dini institute, there was some problem going on. So one Ahlullah, he had come there, and he says that is cheez ki jo rooh thi, wo to nikal gayi. The life of this thing is gone. Right. Now, the dispute is about the buildings. Jagarte raho, ye to lash hai, murda lash hai. Because uski rooh to nikal gayi. The life has gone out. The life was what? The goodness, zikr, turning to Allah Ta'ala, that was the life. Now that has gone out. So when that has gone out, now what are you going to be fighting over? If there is a dispute, the dispute is over what? It's just over a dead body. And what's there in the dead body? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What are you fighting over? So what brings about the life? The life is it. See this barakat. And Allah Ta'ala sends barakat. He sends sakina. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ. And what is sakina? Sakina, they say, it has got three parts to it. The one part of sakina is the tamaniyat. You feel absolutely clear. You've got no doubts. You've got no suspicions. Your mind is absolutely clear. Masla came across, your mind is absolutely clear. You can see things. No cloudiness, no ambiguity, absolutely clear. Whatever you are doing, but Allah Pak has blessed you with the clarity of the heart. So when there's a clarity of the heart, don't you move. You're traveling, and there is no fog, there is no clouds, there is no mist. Then how pleasant the journey is. You move with the speed you move, and the journey is also pleasant because there's no fog, there's no cloud, there's no mist, there's nothing that's covering your road. Absolutely clear. Traffic is, the road is clear, right? There's no mist, there's no fog. So now, that's the first part of sakina. So, person is, he's working right, working for Allah Ta'ala. His ikhlas is there, wealth is halal, he's content with what Allah Ta'ala has provided for him. So this is one thing Allah gives him. One is barakat, then is sakina. So whatever he's doing, and he feels the clarity. In namaz, he finds clarity. Otherwise, must I go to the masjid? Do I have to perform namaz? Now it's another 20 rakat, it's another day of roza. So you see the reservations, the resistance that you find. And when Allah Pak provides sakina, say, I must do it, man. I want to do it. I can't get left. I don't want to get left out. See? So you get such clarity. You're looking forward. Before Ramadan, you're looking forward. You've got that clarity. Mind is at ease. So there's no reservation. The rosy that Allah Pak provided, you got the clarity. Alhamdulillah, I got, and I don't need some more. Feeling very clear about it, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, you got a million and that thing is not sufficient. Am I not clear? 10 million, not sufficient. 100 million, not sufficient. No clarity, you see. So Allah Pak has pulled away the clarity from you. When He's pulled away the clarity, then as much as what you have got, but you don't feel the clarity. You were a good wife, but no, there's no clarity. So until you don't get that haram, you don't find the satisfaction. See how it works. They say, you know, you talk about a gay relationship, right? It's one of a relationship that is orchestrated and engineered purely shaitan. Like other works, there may be a mixture of shaitan and nafs. Shaitan and nafs. And this thing is purely shaitan. In Arabic, they call it liwatat, the person that does it, you call him Luthi. But it doesn't sound right to call that person a Luthi. Because, look at it, a person who follows Musa alayhi salam's Shariat, you call him Musavi, right? Isa, Isavi. And the non-Muslim will call a Muslim Muhammadi, right? Why? Because of emulation. Because of the emulation, they will call him a Muhammadi, right? One person was slandering a Deobandi, right? So he called him a Wahhabi, right? So he says to him, you know what? Don't take it personally that I'm calling him a Wahhabi. Because Wahhab is the sifat, is the attribute of Allah Ta'ala. So when it's an attribute of Allah Ta'ala, then don't take it personally that I call you a Wahhabi. So Deobandi replied, all right, then I call you a kafir. Because the Quran says, مَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوت. Tawud is shaitan, right? مَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوت. Who rejects the shaitan, right? So you are the rejecter of shaitan. And the one that rejects is called a kafir. So I call you a kafir. Is that acceptable? No, don't call me a kafir. But in the text of the Quran, if I call you a kafir, it'll be right. Because the text is saying, the one that makes kufr of shaitan, in other words, he rejects shaitan. Right? He rejects shaitan. So if I call you a kafir, what's wrong with that? So the usage of the word, it doesn't sound right. Because the one that emulates and follows away, then you attribute him with that person's name. Musavi, Isavi, right, Muhammadi. So now you're calling him a Luthi, not because of the Nabi himself, but because of the practice of the people. So is that fair to the Nabi, that because of their practice, you are giving them his name? Not fair to the Nabi. That's why in the old Arabic kitabs, you don't have this word Luthi. You have Man Ata Al-Rajul or Ata Al-Bahimata. Ya'ati Al-Bahimata, Ya'ati Al-Rijal. That's the word you got. The old kitabs. But then after some time, then they use the word Luthi, etc. So it doesn't sound respectable. So this work here was initiated purely by shaitan. And how it started off is shaitan used to come in the form, in some of the history books about it, the shaitan used to come in the form of a handsome youngster, yeah, and rob someone's farm of his grapes. Now, grape season, they make a big mess, robbing so much, taking away and eating all that. So the owner of the farm used to whack him. Don't do this to my farm. Leave me alone. Why are you doing this? And this youngster would come. Now it's shaitan that is coming in, robbing the farm. But he won't just leave it. He's getting the hiding, he's taking the hiding, and he's leaving. So the owner said, why are you troubling, why are you harassing me like this? Won't you leave me? So, all right, I'll leave you one condition. Condition is you must do this work with me. And I came in that form. Now, the first time that he did it, he felt very, very miserable about it, extremely miserable. But now, he thought to himself, all right, he just weighed his options, that I will do this and my farm will be safe. Just to, for the protection of his farm, he did this. Right? Right. Like we see, many times you do some things just for the protection of your wealth. And you think, oh, it's a good thing that you're doing for the protection of your wealth. Right? Some worldly interest, and you compromise on some deeny thing. Right? But then they can't be barakat afterwards. If you had compromised on some deeny thing for a worldly gain, then you don't get on it. Then you get problems of one problem and another problem. third problem, something or the other coming your way. The reason is obvious, that you broke the relationship of Allah Ta'ala for the world, for the thing that is despised by Allah Ta'ala, you broke your relationship with Him. So when you broke your relationship with Him for this, then can there be any good in this? Allah Ta'ala says, for me, for this thing here that I hate, you broke it with me. Then, and you want me to give you barakat in that after that. Where's your brains? For the thing that I despise, you went and attached yourself, right? And you broke your relationship with me. You went and attached yourself. Now you want me to put good into that. How do you work it out? How can it happen? It can't happen. You won't find good in it. Right? Where's my love gone? Where's my allegiance gone? Where's the loyalty? Right? Like, this happens, is a problem. It's a problem today. Man takes up a second wife, right? Much to the peril and the dislike of the first wife. That's why he doesn't like it. Permissible, impermissible is a different thing now. But the first wife doesn't appreciate this. Now, after you have taken the second wife, now you want the first wife to grace this one here, receive this one nice, prepare food for her, shower her with blessing, with gifts and all that. Now, will the first wife do this willingly? Will she do it willingly? She won't. She'll do it. And if she's coerced, she will do it. And you will realize that she's doing it under coercion. So there's no good in it. There's no maja and no happiness in it. So now, you're breaking Allah Ta'ala to join up with this, and then you want Allah Ta'ala to bless this. How does it happen? Can't happen. Can't happen. So for the protection of Islam, he's breaking the command of Allah Ta'ala for the protection of Islam. Right. The right thing for him to do was to leave it to Allah Ta'ala, protect it, ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. Right. But he didn't implore the protection of Allah Ta'ala, and he went and did this to save Islam. Now he did once, now by the second time now he got the enjoyment. Now he's saying the youngster, eat as much as you want, take as much as you want, but come here, you know. I'm going to do it again with you. Again and again. When it became like a sickness, now this is again the shaitan's plan. When it becomes a sickness, then he just disappears. He runs away. كَمَا ثَلِشْ شَيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كْفُرُ This is now shaitanic way. He says, man, right, do this wrong. Just mess it up. I'm with you. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكَ When you fall into the wrong, then I've got nothing to do, I'm running away. So he pushes you into the mess, and when you're drowning, then he runs away. So his idea was just to drown you. So when he's drowned you, then he runs away, then he flees, he's run away. Inni bari minka. So this is how shaitan works. He'll draw you, he'll drown you inside. When you're drowning, then he flees, he's running away. Now you're looking for helter-skelter now. Hey, how do I come out of this mess? So you got into, first you say, you know, I must get that phone, right? Right. And just for the fun of it, just for the curiosity, let me just look. So first it was just for the curiosity. Just for the curiosity, you looked into it. So only once I'll just check the curiosity, what it's got, what's the novelty in it, and then I'll leave it out. But when you started that thing, pressing the buttons, then that thing consumed you. Any sin, you see, that's the beginning. Drugs, let me just experiment that thing, right? Let me just experiment it. And then first you went just on an experiment, just for the fun of it, just hang out with the boys once in a while. Let's do it. But then when you got caught now, is it easy to leave it? It becomes such a problem to leave it out. So that's the nature of every sin. Just that, you know, the community, people generally, they despise drugs, right? But the phone, nobody despises it. And when nobody despises it, sometimes the sin in that becomes even more worse. Because this one, yeah, you know, everybody dislikes it, you despise it, you hate it. Yeah, it's an accepted norm. Looking at the phone, it's an accepted norm. Everybody does it. So what's wrong in that? See, so that wrong is even worse. So how we have misinterpreted sin is, what people dislike, that amounts to a sin. What is all right with people, then that's all right. It's not so bad. Someone is in drugs, then he's very bad. But he's a manager of FNB Bank, it's all right. He's a manager of FNB Bank. It's all right to give him your daughter, it's all right. He's a manager of FNB Bank. But he's, this person here is in drugs, right? So he is taking suraj once in a while, maybe once in 2 days, 3 days, taking suraj. Here he's living in suraj. The FNB manager, he's living, drinking, sleeping in suraj. He's drowning in it. But now, people, society, they don't dislike this. But they dislike this. So as though they became the God, not Allah Ta'ala any longer. So what people disdain, what they dislike, that we must abstain. But what people, it's alright with people, it's alright. See now how the mind, see with haram and the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, how the mind gets disfigured. You can't think correctly. The whole metamorphosis, the whole change in the mind. Mind can't think right. Mind goes off. Look at any person, when he receives a proposal, right, this one is a drugger, this person is a bank manager. How do they view it? Look at anybody, how will they view it? Illa mashallah, someone with taqwa, understanding of deen, he is different. But otherwise, they'll say, no, this is right, man. Halat now, you know, some halat came onto him, so he's in this job here. Now, inshallah, maybe Allah will give him tawfiq one day. We mustn't be judgmental. This is a type of sentiments that will be expressed. But fortunately or unfortunately, for the drugger, nobody says, mustn't be judgmental. But Sonia mustn't be judgmental. Sonia, don't be judgmental. So the judgmental also comes, it's a selective, you know. All deen is a kachumar, all. So that is why they say, "Man la sheikh lahu, fa sheikhu wa shaitan." You don't have a sheikh, you don't have a guide, then shaitan becomes your guide. How important it is. You want to reach that end, but you don't have a proper guide, you don't have a person leading you across, or you have someone, but you're not taking the guidance from him. So what happens? You have someone, but you're not taking the guidance. So how do you expect to cross this path? How do you expect to cover the journey? Right. You have a service plan, but you're not taking in your motor car for the service. Say, hey, my car is troubling, man. Car is troubling. But you do have a service plan, so why don't you take the car for service? Now you're going to complain. So the same thing here. So yourself, you need that service. But just that, because you can't see the fire, can't see the problem now. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ يَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Right? Like the Quran Sharif says, unjustly eating wealth, right, orphans, etc. And what happens? You are filling in fire into your system. So, Presently, the person that is eating that wealth unjustly and is filling in fire. But as you stand here, you can't perceive that fire. What he's taking in is fire, but you can't see it. So that fire just needs the right type of exposure. It's got the exposure, then you'll see the inferno. You'll see the explosion. There's no exposure, so you can't see it. Like, you know, you've got petrol, right? Person not careful about petrol, what do you say? you're playing with fire. Don't you say you're playing with fire? So that petrol just needs the exposure. When it's got the exposure, then you see the explosion. Then you see the name. Say you're talking lies, man. See, I'm putting my hand into that petrol, so cooling, relaxing. And it's gas, so cooling, right? Seeing it's fire. With your brains. Can't you see it's not fire, this? But just give it the explosion, see what happens. So, that haram you're doing is fire, actually. It just needs the exposure. The exposure is the cover. The moment you hit the cover, there. Here, the exposure is that inflammable environment, right? Once you got that, and you see a whole inferno, you see an explosion. So the haram that we're doing here, it just requires the exposure. And once it's got the exposure, then you see the explosion, right? But because we can't see, therefore we don't believe in it. But the damage that we're causing, damage upon damage, damage upon damage. And where this thing starts off, I was wondering for some time, you know, that what about getting into too much of luxury? You know? Is it right or not right? Today I was checking the kitab, one more time Ramadan says that too much of luxury also is ittiba'i shahwat. Then we said, there's just two steps to Jannat. One to the nafs, and then you're gone. Ya Dawoodu, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Fahkum bayna an-nasi bil haqq. Wala tattabi' al-hawa. What is hawa? Shahwat. So don't you follow shahwat. And if you ever follow shahwat, yudillaka, it will mislead you. So, what I say is that generally people feel shahwat is only related to haram. It's not only related to haram, but to be addicted, you know, to be addicted to just luxuries all the time. Now and then you do it, once off you do it, it's all right. But all the time, you know, that's an obsession. I need it like this, I need this, I need this, I need this, obsession. Obsession with luxuries and comforts. That's also ittiba'i shahwat. I used to think for some time, you know, that luxuries and to have an obsession, what's wrong with it? So there's multiple wrong with that. It's multiple wrong. If you don't have that luxury, you made yourself addicted to that luxury, right? Now, if you don't have that luxury, then you're miserable. Extremely miserable. You can't think, you can't function because you didn't have the luxury. I've seen people getting into a depression if they don't have the luxury that they have become addicted to, become dependent on luxury. They don't find that luxury, so then they get into a depression. They can't think, they can't reason, they're miserable, they're fighting. That's one problem. Because they became dependent on that. When they became dependent on that, they're not getting that. So when they don't get that now, what happens to them? So Mawlana says now, to overdo it in luxuries and comforts, that's also a type of ittiba'i hawa. That's the first problem. The second problem is that you're addicted, you're dependent on that luxury and that comfort, and you're not getting it. So when you don't get it now, then you will do anything, haram, anything, just to get that. Just to get that, anything. Beg, borrow, steal, rob, cheat, make false promises, go to the bank, do anything. But I must get that. I must get that. See now, when there's an addiction, then what that addiction, what it drives you to. But now, compared to that, a person who's living a moderate life, he's got the luxury, alhamdulillah. Came his way, alhamdulillah. And it didn't come, alhamdulillah. So he's disciplined himself. I got it, alhamdulillah. I'm comfortable. I don't have it, also I'm comfortable. Today, he sat down in a murk, he's comfortable. The idea is, he thinks to himself, the idea is to take me from point A to point B. And tomorrow he had to sit, for example, in a Corolla, ordinary old Corolla. So that's also taking him from point A to point B. I've done the distance, finished. I don't have to be worried about it. When Allah Pak gives you the understanding, you know, I said Sakina, and Sakina gives three things. Then your vision is very, very clear. Very clear. You see things in a very clear. Harun al-Rashid received a guest at some awkward time. So the guest wanted some water. So there wasn't any attendant. So he went himself. Now he's king, and king of the, say, more than one third of the populated world at that time. Right. So he's got so many attendants and all that, but incidentally at that moment there's nobody. So he got up, wherever he had to go to, got the water, put into a tray, into a tumbler, and served it like how you would serve a guest. So the guest felt, you know, very uncomfortable that the king is at my service. So Harun al-Rashid tells him, see, when Allah gives you understanding and reasoning, then you see things differently. He says, you see, I did not serve you. Before serving you, I was Harun al-Rashid. After serving you, I'm still Harun al-Rashid. I haven't changed. I'm still the same person. So doing this or doing that, he doesn't feel different about it. You know, to get this picture right, that you are just a nobody, you are just nobody, nothing you are, whatever you are, whoever, whatever wealth, you know, whatever structures you're living within, but to make you feel convinced that I'm nothing, I'm absolutely nothing, one simple muraqabah is going in the toilet, right? Make muraqabah there. Someone thinks, muraqabah, hey, the masjid, put your head down and all that. Now, you can do a muraqabah there as well. The muraqabah that you will do there is, be the wealthiest, most powerful of kings of the zamana, he and the poorest, both will have to clean their own mess with their own hands. The king, most powerful, most great, he or the poorest of the poor, with that mess and that dirt and that filth, the king also won't appreciate someone else doing it for him, rubbing his backside. He won't like it. He'll have to do it himself. He'll have to clean his mess himself. Is it right or not? So that makes you, brings you to your sense, hey, this is something else now, man. This dirt here, I couldn't escape it. Doesn't mean I'm Mr. So-and-so, so might as well be gold and silver, or musk and umber. You know, what that person has got, you'll get the same. In fact, you know, experience shows that if you're eating better, then yours will be more stinking. You know, ghee and all that works, you've got musk, you got all these things here, steak and all that. So what comes out from you, whether it's the gas or the other stuff that comes out, will be even worse. As compared to that ordinary person, he's eating mass and bread and all that. So there's not so much of stench in him. And yours will be much more. You'll have to, after you did that, you have to put some spray in your toilet, what are the things you have to do to bring it back to normal. That person doesn't need all these things here, because he doesn't have so much of stench. He's eating simple, plain food. And you're eating so much of varieties, so much of complicated things you're eating, that what's coming out is also complicated. And you have complications in taking it out as well. And that person, you see, like an animal, right? You know, an animal wants to pass out, right? In 2 minutes, it's finished. 1-2 minutes, it's finished. Yeah, you have to sit down there, take out your cigarette, have a magazine, take your phone. And after half an hour, 1 hour, then you are finished. And that person, in 2 minutes, is finished, over. See, you're eating all that complicated, so what you take out also is complicated. Come back to simplicity. You won't get into haram. You won't get into doubtful things. You won't miss your life. You won't destroy your spiritual self. Come back. I say this, and I say this with a lot of concern, a lot of hurt, pain, I'm saying this. Because, see, we're getting into this, and we are liking this thing here, not realizing what we're doing for our future and the future of our dear and near ones. Going into this, what's going to happen to the next generation, third generation, what's going to happen? We don't realize. A little bit of that simplicity, that's called iman. Simple, ordinary, simple life. If you are required to go out in Jamaat, even, for example, transcar, you can manage it. Take a 3 days Jamaat, 5 days Jamaat, 40 days Jamaat, you can move. But no, I need to go to Westville, you know. They'll get some khidmat done, the takazas will also be done, and the khidmat also will be right. You can't work in this type of place. So you are depriving yourself of dini khidmat. But when you corrected yourself, brought yourself to simplicity, any type of life you are exposed to, you can manage any type of dini khidmat. So this is the first thing that you get with sakina. I was showing you the procedures of sakina and barakat, clarity of the mind. The second thing that you get with sakina is you get nur, light. Right. So the first is, the mind is absolutely clear. No, sorry, the second thing is you get quwwat. What? Quwwat. First is clarity, absolute clear vision. That's, you could call it light, call it tamaninat. So that's the visibility, clarity, motivation, the drive, right? The second what you get is quwwat. What you're doing, you get strength. I feel like doing, I want to do it, I got the strength to do it. Because I got the strength, stamina, I got it, I want to do it. You don't feel sluggish, you don't feel weak within you. Get up with touch, I got the strength. See that? Second thing, Allah Ta'ala blesses you. First with light, then with quwwat, with strength. So in anything that you embark upon, you can do it. You don't find it difficult, right? So when Allah blesses someone, then you find old person. See, the Chacha is 90 years, right? But for him to keep the roza, for him to be in a tarawih, he's finding it enjoyable. He wants to stay here. Now you tell a youngster to do it a whole month, the masjid, just be confined, like this, restricted. Is it human to be like that? He doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have the stamina for it. He doesn't have the appetite for it. So the second thing Allah Ta'ala blesses is that strength to do it. He wants to do it. He's got the strength, he's got the stamina, he's got the appetite for it. See, he's trusting Allah Ta'ala. Simple, ordinary, halal. No inky, ponky. Straight, clear. So that's the second thing Allah Ta'ala gives you. The third thing Allah Ta'ala gives you is ruh. One is nur, one is quwwat. And the third thing Allah Ta'ala gives you, that's you're talking of sakina. Sakina has got these three things. Nur, quwwat, and the third thing is ruh. The ruh is, you know, you say, أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا. It gives you a new life. Life springs out of you. See that seed, right? That seed, right? It seems like dead, right? Doesn't it seem like dead? But when it's got the right environment, now life springs out of it, sprouts out of it, isn't it? So the same happens here. You got that iman, but that iman is still in the seedling. It needs the right type of environment. When it's got that environment, then you see the life springing out of it. So life springs out of you. Life. Hayat comes out of you. See? So this is barakat, and that is called sakina. So this barakat and sakina is not subject to plentiful wealth. You're not subject to any type of jimming and himming. Yeah? It's got a procedure. Halal, simple, clean, contented, happy with Allah Ta'ala, trusting Allah Ta'ala. So you have that type of life, that Allah Pak blesses you with this. So you don't have everything, but you got everything. You don't have everything, but you've got everything. You're not short of anything. You know, I think Abdul Hamid or someone gave it bayan some time back. One person came out for a holiday. Multi-millionaire, he came out for a holiday, so he thought of going to a seaside village, booked in an apartment, seaside, overlooking a sea, beach and all that. Now to pass his time, he's going to fish and all that. Then for those days that he's there, a month or something that he's there, he sees one poor person going, casting, catching 2-3 fishes, going home, come back in the morning, around the same time, 2-3 fish, and he's casting and he's got a simple dwelling like a hut or something and he's enjoying life. So this multi-millionaire is telling this poor fisherman, but you know this thing here is not on what you're doing. What you're supposed to be doing is, see, you got just one rod, buy another rod. So one and the second one and you'll be fishing with two. So you'll be able to pull out, in place of 3 fish, you'll pull out perhaps 6 fish, right? Then you can take the third rod, by taking out about 10, 20 fishes all the time. So the 3 you're going to need to use for your home, that other 6, 7 you're going to be selling, right? So that will be collecting money, right? Then in a few days' time, then you can buy a small boat, and you can go a little bit deep and catch more fish. Then you've got so much of fish, then you can buy a trawler, right? When you buy a trawler, then your fish is in demand now. It's going overseas, here, there, everywhere, right? Then you have a big, big trawler. So much of money you'll be getting, right? Then you have so much of money, then so much of shops you'll have. Money is just coming up, you know? So the fishermen, after everything, then what happens? So then you must, you know, everything is happening. Then you can relax at the seaside. Calm, cool, composed. So this fisherman is saying, what am I doing now presently? I am calm and composed. Why would I go through this whole exercise to come back at the same point? I'm already enjoying. I must go through this whole exercise to come back to the same place. I'm already enjoying. Just that the enjoyment that we are in, we don't understand it. We don't realize it. We don't appreciate it. We don't think about it. Muft ki khushi, right? But that what we got for free, we don't realize it. So go through the whole exercise, come back to the same point. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb.